What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 165 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, I am doing well. I'm just getting super pumped for OTN's next contest, where we give away rolls of toilet paper.
You know what? If we can find toilet paper to even give away right now, game on. So I stopped at Food Lion on my way home from work today, and I kid you not, in the paper product aisle, they had two bags of Lion brand napkins, and that was it, just napkins. And I saw two people literally run and snatch both of them. And I'm just there to pick up some Mountain Dew, man. That's all I need. I don't need anything else but Mountain Dew. I'm fine with that. Nation, make sure you're following the Level Up Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow it at the Level Up Podcast. It's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, why not give Joey and myself a follow? That'd be pretty cool, right? You can find Joey at Courtside King or myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, no, we did not plan on both of us wearing red shirts today, but somehow we managed to do it anyway. It's that co-host synergy, it feels like. You can find those handles, though, below those amazing mugshots you're currently staring at here live on Twitch. And if you're listening on your podcatcher of choice down the road, they'll be in the show notes for you below. And Nation, while you're at it, why not leave us a review on that podcatcher of choice? Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes and Google Play. Reviews and just word of mouth, tell your friends, tell your family, all goes a long way, help grow the show and reach new listeners. So when you do have a moment, we would appreciate you taking a small portion of your time to leave us a really cool, awesome review. We do read them all. They're awesome. They're great. We appreciate it. Nation, it's a tough time in the world. Most of the sports and esport competitions have either been canceled, postponed, delayed, or suspended indefinitely all over the globe. The road ahead might be tough. Everyone needs to play their role to slow this pandemic. And if that means I'm locking myself indoors playing video games, Joey, I'm going to do it. I will lock myself indoor and play video games. That's a sacrifice I'm willing to take. Seriously, there's some great video game deals out there right now. Like World of Warcraft, 100% XP boost. Come on now, get your ults ready. Let's go. Joey, great time to come back to World of Warcraft, by the way. We'll talk after the show. As the pro esports scene is now getting, as they're now moving back to their roots from in-person events to online events, we're also seeing video games fill a unique role in our entertainment world for the masses. Joey, what other topics will we be hitting on this week on episode 165?
John, we have a lot interrelated between sports and esports this week, with a lot of sport leagues looking to their esport compartments or components, I guess you can say. We have the NBA and NHL with some of those teams making moves, as well as eNASCAR as well, John. I know that's right up there on your list. So some big stuff there that we'll be touching on. On top of that, we do have some other tournaments popping up and being postponed at the same time. So some new, different blood coming into the tournament scene for esports. But then again, like you said, moving back to the roots and looking more into those online-based tournaments as well.
Joey, I'm excited for this one. This should be a good episode. But before we can even dive headfirst into episode 165, I'm going to need a little assistance. I know I'm pretty exhausted going back to work today. You're lucky you get to work from home. It's kind of cool. I still have to go into an office and traffic's good at least. But Joey, I'm going to need a little assistance to get me through this episode. I am dragging. So I need to know, sir, your drink of choice for episode 165.
John, I am back to the bourbon. We're locked in home. I got my barrel right here. So we are drinking bourbon today. I'm working from home, John, but I'll be honest. It is a little disappointing not getting to see coworkers every day. Like, there is that element of, like, lively socialness that can be had in an office, or most offices, let's say. And my little home space doesn't quite give as much of that.
I feel like there's a direct shot at me, considering I'm, like, the only person in my office now. I'm not going to go into reasons why I'm the only person in my office, but let's just say I'm the only person in my office for a while. Joey, I need me a pick-me-up. That's why I stopped and got Mountain Dew. Code Red. Mountain Dew Code Red. Apparently, water and Mountain Dew Baja Blast. They're selling that in cans now. Both were absolutely sold out at Food Lion. I'm a little disappointed in them. I believe I'll be taking my business to Safeway from now on. So, Joey, I have my Mountain Dew Code Red. You have your bourbon. I'm a little jealous. You have an entire barrel in your house. You need to share. I need to come over. But we have our beverages. We have our topics. I don't want to waste any more time. Let's get right into Game Minute E Sports News. Let's go.
John, speaking of Code Red, there's now a Code Red in the Rocket League scene, and that's because Gareth Bale is moving in with 11z Esports. We talked about it last week, how he jumped into FIFA competition. He was looking at a few other titles. I believe CSGO was one of them at the time. You and I really wanted to see him move into Rocket League. This is one of those titles that can be somewhat relatable to regular sports. It has that soccer appeal to it. Yes, there's rocket-powered cars, but you still score points by scoring goals with a ball. I think this is an excellent move from Gareth Bale in 11z Esports.
It was predictable. I mean, like you said, Joey, we both talked about it. This was the next logical move. If Bale is actually interested in creating a foothold in esports or just being somewhat relevant, moving into Rocket League and keeping their foothold in FIFA now also, but making that transition into Rocket League as well is so incredibly smart for his organization, 11s. It's the next logical move. Now, Where do you go from here? That I don't know. You're a global soccer star making your move into esports. You're now in FIFA. You now are in Rocket League, the two biggest soccer titles. I don't see him making a move into PES esports, the other soccer title that competes with FIFA. I don't see that happening. Obviously, that'd be almost like a conflict of interest. I don't think FIFA would be too happy with that. But where do you go from here? Do you continue to reach into other possibly traditional esport titles? Are you looking at possibly expanding into a MOBA or into a card game or a mobile esport title? I'd be kind of curious to see where Bale goes from here now that he already has a team now established in FIFA and Rocket League.
Right, and I think that's a big question out here. Now, does he stick with those professional or traditional sport titles more or less? Does he try to get into something like the NBA 2K League, or does he look into the Madden scene? Or do we see him going that traditional sport route? Or like you said, John, do we see him make that jump into MOBAs? If you're looking at the most popular esport titles right now, League of Legends is one of them. That's a MOBA. CSGO is also very much up there. Valorant is coming out this summer by Riot Games. Has a lot of popularity. Overwatch is a whole nother one, but that's a huge buy-in. So there's a number of different routes he can take here. I honestly don't know which way he goes. I feel like so far it's been very predictable with FIFA as the first title. Rocket League is that traditional versus esporty title. It kind of just hits that line. It walks that line very nicely. So which way does he go now? Does he cross that line completely with something like League of Legends? Or do we see him teeter around that line a bit more with other titles like NBA 2K League or something like that? Now, the difference is with something like an NBA 2K League or even an NHL at the moment, a lot of those big teams, like the professional league teams as they develop, are related to hockey organizations and NBA 2 organizations. NHL is a bit different because it has a pretty robust scene outside of actually the league itself. So that could be another spot we see a move. On the opposite side, Madden is not necessarily related to the NFL franchises either. So that does leave a little bit of flexibility in that space. But again, Gareth Bale coming from overseas, Madden might not be the top title to hit some of his following or some of his audience really. So I feel like there's a lot of room to move here, and I'm really not sure which direction he's going to go, John. So we'll have to cross that one over to the box and see where he heads it next. Over to partnerships, though. Xbox is partnering up with Seagate for their next generation storage. John, I'm going to move this one a bit more to you because I don't know as much in the storage space. I know Samsung is very good at internal hard drives. You've mentioned Crucial before. I have a Seagate external hard drive. It seemed to work well. So I think I also have a Western Digital one. Both seem fine. I don't really know too much about the space. But as far as Seagate goes, they are designing a custom-built storage expansion card to take advantage of the new Xbox Velocity architecture on the Xbox One. Xbox Series X. We're just going to go with Xbox. I think I like this move, but again, I'm not a very big knowledgeable person when it comes to hard drives.
Yeah, so Seagate, they're a decent company. Their issue is they went through a period where a lot of their hard drives failed. If you're looking at someone who's more of a tech geek, who's building you a computer or anything that needs mass amounts of storage, Seagate's not exactly your first go-to. You're going to go to a Western Digital if you're going with a traditional hard drive or even a solid state. WD makes some amazing products there. Samsung, when it comes to solid state drives and M2s, obviously, S plus tier, if you will. But the issue is that adds a lot of money. You know, when you have a 1 terabyte, storage system coming out in Xbox or PlayStation, PlayStation is like 825 gigs for the PS5. You're looking at, another $200-$300 essentially versus going with a solid state or even a traditional hard drive. So you have to weigh cost comparison here. How much storage are you willing to give? How much speed in that storage are you willing to give to write files, to read files? It's a lot of questions. Now, in comparison, Seagate is probably more of a consumer choice. If you're looking for a lot of storage for an economical price, Seagate's the way to go. They still make a decent product, but because they had that rut where they were kind of, their hard drives were failing quite a bit, a lot of people have turned away from Seagate. Now, again, not saying they're a bad product. They're still a great company. They put out amazing hard drives and solid state drives and everything, but this is definitely to help cut down on the price of this next generation console. Again, Seagate, really, probably I'd give them an A tier. They're definitely the next step down from Samsung and Western Digital, and even Crucial. Crucial is a great hard drive that you mentioned as well, solid state drive there too. But Seagate is definitely more the economical route for Xbox. So I think it's smart for Xbox in the next generation of console, where we're all expecting these price points to be probably the highest they've ever been.
And just to clarify a bit too, so I actually do not know what the internal hard drive is going to be as far as storage goes, but this will be the external version. So a lot of people on their consoles end up getting expansion cards and they end up connecting some sort of external hard drive, or back in the old days they had memory cards or so on and so forth, just because they eventually outdo what the solid state or hard drive in the console can hold. So this is Seagate purely for the expansion. They look sleek. I just sent you the link, by the way. They look really nice. I think they have a good touch to them. They have a little Xbox logo engraved in. And at least from what I'm seeing so far, it looks like they will be 1 terabyte.
Yeah, and that's fine. External Xbox, I would say that's more prevalent in Xbox than in PlayStation. I feel like it's almost easier for Xbox since there's that crossover with Windows and Microsoft, since they own both. It's easier for the external hard drive. I've never tried with my PlayStation to plug in an external hard drive. I believe you still can do it. But when it comes to external hard drives and giving that accessory for an Xbox, I think it's a solid way to go. This isn't saying you can't use any other external hard drive either. It's very easy to get another external hard drive and format it for your Xbox. Super simple to do. This is like the official Xbox One, which will be covered under your warranty and all that other fun stuff, versus you can go out and get a Samsung external hard drive, plug it into your Xbox, it'll still work, but it probably won't be covered under that warranty. I like it. It's smart. It's definitely a smart move. So kudos to Xbox and Seagate. I think this is bigger for Seagate, getting their name tied with the next gen console to help really return from that PR disaster from when their hard drives went through that time of where their fail rate was ridiculously high. I think it's better for them than it is for Xbox, but I like the deal overall.
Yeah, I do tend to agree as well. I think it's similar to the AMD deals as well, with AMD being in the new PlayStation and the new Xbox. So very similar to that. Again, it's not Intel. It's this new up-and-coming chip. So I think the fact that AMD is able to continue to get their name out in these consoles is very similar to the Seagate deal here. A few other things, John, besides that warranty that might come with this, these are going to be optimized for that Xbox Velocity architecture. So they're supposed to run like the fastest and most efficient on the new consoles. That's another reason to go this route. And like you said, Seagate being a bit more consumer-friendly price-wise, I think that's another reason we see Xbox going this way. That caters a bit more to their variety of an audience. So you're not just getting the top tier stuff, you're not getting the low tier stuff, you're getting Seagate, which is around what you're saying, B+, A- territory, maybe a little bit higher depending. So I think these are good moves overall. I really like this. One more thing though, Xbox Velocity. Xbox Series X, yeah, it's all right, but Xbox Velocity, now that would have been a hype name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where Xbox is doing their name testing. I don't know what kind of research groups are pulling together to get public opinion on this one. But not a huge fan of the new Xbox generation's name so far. It feels
Xbox
more like a
Velocity
meme.
I think that's much better. Xbox Game Pass, though, John, this is something we both can like. I think this is very exciting. It continues to evolve, and as I say, it's going to maintain its throne of the best deal in gaming so far. This time, it's adding perks to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. These are pretty much going to work similarly to the way Twitch Prime loot works. It's really going to be free cosmetics, free exclusive skins, which are cosmetics, gun skins, different content, like maybe you get some in-game currency for a game, or a little legend in League of Legends and different things like that. So that is now coming to Game Pass with Game Pass related games, and that did start this past week. So go ahead and check that out if you're an Xbox Game Pass owner. TFT Mobile has officially launched alongside its Set 3 Galaxies. So we are taking a little bit of travel, leaving Runeterra and heading up to the stars, John. We have celestial beings in this one. We have a bunch of different classes. Some are carryover. Blademaster we've had before. I think Vanguard we've had before as well, but there are some new ones in there. We have Star Guardians in the mix. I'm trying to think of the other spacey ones. I feel like Mystic is in there. I don't know if that was an old one or not, but there's some different space-themed things going on. People are still trying things out. Cybernetic is very strong right now. We can attest to beating people with it and getting destroyed by it. But a lot of fun different combinations in there, a lot of good use of the skins. It seems like the development team is listening, and they're making some good moves. And honestly, the mobile interface is very clean, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, it's actually a lot better than I thought it would be. Shout out to Riot for TFT Mobile, because you and you alone have made my work days so much more interesting, trying to balance getting actual work done and getting some TFT games in during the day. My boss doesn't listen to my podcast. I'm pretty sure he doesn't even know how to access podcasts, so I'm completely fine saying that. You know, it's great. It's so clean. The interface is amazing. It looks great on a mobile phone. It looks great on a tablet. I play it on my iPad. I play it on my phone. It's fantastic. Absolutely freaking love it. And Joey, you mentioned Star Guardian, and I didn't see it anywhere here on the topic, so I'm just going to throw it in there right now. What about Star Guardian Urgot? The meme becoming a dream, becoming a reality. Star Guardian Urgot is going to be coming to League of Legends, hopefully. April Fool's
yes,
joke.
It is, John. Hopefully. It could be an April Fool's joke. I think it is not an April Fool's joke, but I think it's still going to get added into the game. How many years has it been? It's been like 2 or 3 since they've been asking for this skin, right?
It's been a long, long time. It's like one of the biggest memes and one of the biggest like cosplay memes, too. Is, oh, I'm going to cosplay as Star Guardian Urgot. You know, hey, Sneaky, who's crushing it in the cosplaying scene right now. You know, cosplay as Star Guardian Urgot. I would still love to see that. Someone cosplay as that, but now there's actually something you can use. And Joey, he's wearing kitten slippers for his
pajamas. It's like a pajama Star Guardian.
It is.
It's like a combo skin.
It's amazing.
Urgot. I mean, he definitely, Urgot has been through quite a bit. This poor man, he was pretty much ignored on the Rift for so long. Then I think it was Bjergsen and Keen picked him up in the NALCS at the time. Played him for a couple seasons, then he started getting some love. He got this nice rework. He's got some sweet animations, though creepy as hell at the same point. And now he's coming out. He's got his little skirt on. He's got his little slippers. Yeah, that's not quite the person I want to run into on the street, but at least he looks a little bit more adorable now, right? Good times, good times. TFT, though, so what are your thoughts on Set 3 so far? Galaxies is out. It's new. It's unique. We have a lot of new characters as well as new themes and whatever they call classes, I guess, in the system, combinations that can be made. I like it so far. I think it feels pretty smooth.
Dude, it's tough. It is. I feel like your ability to build a comp and then maybe switch a round or two later if for some reason the roles aren't going in your favor is incredibly difficult to do. I feel like in Set 3, tier 5 champions, you know, I've talked to several people. Maybe it's just my incredibly bad luck. I've only maybe come across 4 or 5 of them in my about 15 games that I've played. You know, so about a 33% pop-up rate. And I'm not talking about the times I even get them. Like, I think I've only had Misfortune twice. I still have never gotten an Echo so far. I got a Lulu once. And Wukong, I believe he's a 4-coin champion, so he's not even up there with the 5. It feels a lot more difficult in this go around, and I like it. It's a challenge. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, you can make a mistake and then you can recover, you know, in four or five, you know, matches. It's one of those things where it's like, if you make a mistake, it punishes you. It feels a lot more like, you know, on the Rift. If you make a mistake, you know, mid game or late game, it punishes you. It's hard to come back. Or if you, you know, have a really slow start and you're not playing well, you're not, you know, watching your econ, you're not watching your chemistry, your team chemistry to get, you know, if you're going Blade Master or if you're going Sorcerer or if you're going Star Guardian, if you're not paying attention to that, I feel like later on in the game, it's very difficult to find those synergies going forward. So I like the challenge. I do think it's a little bit harder, but I like it. I like the challenge this go around.
Yeah, I feel like one of the hardest things I've encountered is being mid-tier. So like when you're a very high tier, you're top 1-2, you're winning a lot, you get these nice little streaks going to build your economy. And even when you're losing, when you're toward the bottom, like that 7th, 8th position, you end up getting lose bonuses as well. So you're getting coins coming in to help you kind of rebound as you tank, in a sense, to build a better lineup. If you're in the middle and you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one, you never get an economy going. So I think the worst spot to be in is that 5-6 spot. Even 4 I would include in there for a while. Because once you're in those spots, you're winning and you're losing and you're not really keeping anything consistent to build up a winning economy or a losing economy that'll help you continue to build up your coin. So that to me is the biggest issue I've encountered so far. Other than that, it's just the RNG. I mean, when it comes to games like auto chess and TFT style games, if you don't roll the right items, you don't roll the right pieces for these comps that you're building, you'll absolutely get demolished. So sometimes you just lose because of luck, in a sense. Like, you can choose your comp whatever way you want, and then maybe you go one direction, and then you start rolling everything the other direction. Then you have to mess up your whole economy to switch directions, or you keep going with what you have, and that's where those tough choices come in. But there's definitely RNG involved. I think overall the game is quite balanced, if I'd say. Cybernetic feels a little too strong. I think Sorcerers feel a little too strong, and Blade Masters feel a little too strong. But other than that, I feel like they did a decent job, at least for the first patch on Galaxies, for balancing as well.
Yeah, and I feel like as this set goes on, it'll balance out even more. I think people are still trying to feel some things out here and there with Galaxies. But just real quick, the Little Legends this go-around for set 3 are absolutely amazing. I have, I'm blanking on his name. It's not the squid-looking one, even though I so want to buy that come next paycheck Wednesday.
It's the whale guy.
It's like a maw,
something
star maw or something like that.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah,
and they are so cool. I mean, they're all essentially like outer space theme or void themed. And if anyone knows me, like me and Void is awesome. I love like when Void, you know, makes its way into video games, whether it's like World of Warcraft and the Void being this kind of like chaotic, not even really chaotic neutral, but kind of like this silent player that's linked to something evil, but is, you know, you're trying to make it something good, i.e. Void Elves. Same thing here in League of Legends, when you have, you know, the Dark Star skins that are outer space, but have that connection to the Void as well. Things like Varus or Jhin. So really, really cool. I love it when they tie that in, and I am absolutely head over heels for set 3 for TFT. And I'm going to keep playing it. I'm probably going to be playing it more than I'm going to be playing on the Rift for the foreseeable future. TFT may be the one mobile game that I actually keep on my phone for longer than 2 weeks.
We will see. I think it'll be on there for the long term. I just don't know how long you'll play it for the long term. And I mean, there's a lot of big mobile games out there, but I think TFT, the fact that we have already, I'm going to say, built a relationship with it in a PC client, I think helps it travel to mobile and keep us engaged as well.
Well, I mean, I still have Pokemon Go technically on my phone. I don't remember
God,
the last time
soul.
I opened it, but it's on there, and I still do have my Scyther as my companion Pokemon, so we're going to keep it there.
Wow, that's adorable. Why is you're out there traveling around these closed parks trying to avoid getting coronavirus? Let me know how that Scyther levels up for you, buddy.
It's brutal.
The Washington Wizards and the Capitals have decided to finish their respective seasons virtually via NBA 2K and NHL 20. Both teams are set to broadcast video game simulations of their previously scheduled matchups. The games will air during every suspended contest original time slot as well. John, I really like this move. It's that interesting blend of sports and esports once again, but it's even more interesting than what we've seen in the past. A lot of the different blends have been something like the NBA 2K League, where it's different players playing out NBA-style games virtually. This is actually full-on simulations, to my knowledge. There is no player playing either side of the teams. It's purely, we're going to boot this game up. It's two CPUs, the Washington Wizards, based on their live stats versus whoever the team is that night, playing against each other virtually. CPUs, actual in-game names, the Bradley Beals, the John Walls, they are out there playing for the Wizards virtually on this court. I like this move, John. Again, it's not traditional sports. It's not that same awe effect of the alley-oops with a real person actually performing those skills. But at the same point, I think it's a nice way to fill the void from the organization.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe John Wall might actually play this season then, since injuries might be turned off. I don't know. Who knows? But I like this. It's unique. It's a different way to fill that void. I mean, when sports leagues all around the world shut down because of this pandemic, everyone's like, well, wait a minute. What are we going to do? Like, sports have become that big of a piece of everyday human life. And, you know, just take a moment real quick. Take a moment and look at the current situation of the world and realize all the little things we take for granted. Going outside to a park, you know, here in, you know, the Washington, D.C. area, parks are closed. Schools are closed. You can't even go to the playgrounds at the schools. You know, it's small things like that. Basketball courts, they're closed. Rec centers, they're closed. You know, what are you going to do? You know, you're encouraged not to go outside and play. You know, all these things we take advantage. I don't know if maybe take advantage, but like just kind of forget the importance of how small these everyday activities are now coming back and kind of impacting us. So we're kind of realizing, wait, you know, I do want to go outside. I do want to go outside. I want to go to a park. I want to go to a track. I want to go to a game. I want to, like, I miss this part of life. And until this pandemic is over with, until we as a human society can figure this thing out, we're going to have to look at different ways of finding entertainment. And I love the fact that Monumental Sports Entertainment are thinking outside of the box, bringing in video games. They're firm believers in esports. You know, Monumental Sports Entertainment is, you know, and Ted Leonsis, co-owners of Team Liquid. They have WizDG for NBA 2K League. They have Caps Gaming. They are all in. They are firm believers in esports and the power of what video games can do as a source of entertainment. And I love the fact that they're going to do this. Now, could we do this if every team, let's say NHL, every NHL team had one player that represented them and they went head to head? Yeah, that would be fun. But the problem is those games would only last 10, 15 minutes at the most. You do full AI simulations like this, you can do 20-minute periods. Now, you know, are people going to sit there and watch a simulation of a video game for three 20-minute periods? I don't know. But what is unique, from what I read in the press release, it sounds like the normal announcers for the Capitals and the Wizards are going to call these video game simulations. So you're still going to get the unique perspective and takes of a local voice to kind of bring some normalcy. Is that even a word? Back into your life by watching the simulations. And, you know, I feel like for younger generations, this is going to be a great opportunity. If you're not connected with traditional sports in a live sense, but in a video game sense you are, this is a great opportunity to possibly make that crossover. And Joey, the fact that this is going to be carried on television, this is an absolute dream for a lot of these video games, video game companies, and esport, traditional sport esport titles going forward, getting this kind of exposure. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And Joey, just the other day, real quick, the Capitals and Penguins played a game online. It was John Wayne for the Capitals versus Junior Pens for the Penguins. Played a game on Twitch, and just like every Caps-Pens matchup it is, it feels like it went to overtime, but it's okay because John Wayne, controlling our boy Ovi, slapped home the overtime winner from his office from the left side. It feels like it happens every single time. No one can stop it. But it was fun. It was exciting. You could still feel that rivalry. So it's a lot of fun. And this may be a unique way for the esport world to entertain the sports world until this pandemic is over.
Right. I think there's a ton of huge wins. Like, okay, the only downside, like if we look at it overall, obviously the season's being canceled or delayed is a huge downside. But if they didn't do something like this, what's going to happen? It's just blank television. There's no games happening at all. So even if there's people out there complaining, this is not real sports, whatever, yeah, that's fine, whatever. at the same point, at least you're getting something. At least this organization is showing you some love in some way. Shout out to the Portland Trailblazers as well. They're doing something similar. They are going out there. I believe it's a player playing through the matches, though, on Portland side, as opposed to just a complete AI sim. But at the same point, I like that they're being creative. They're being inventive, just like these two teams are as well. So a lot of big pluses. Like you said, I think another big plus is for these games. When you look at 2K, this is huge. When you look at EA for NHL, this is big, because now you're having some people that might not have even looked at these games in the last decade being like, oh, wow, these graphics in these games have improved so much over the past decade, because now you have like sweat dripping on players' faces. It looks so much more realistic. Some players don't look quite like they actually do in real life, but we're actually getting there slowly but surely. The ice looks great in hockey. The court with the sponsors is awesome, especially in NBA 2K. So I think there's a lot of really big positives to take away here, as well as maybe this does eventually move some traditional sports people to be a little bit more welcoming to esports as well. So I think there can be a lot of positives, a lot more positives than negatives, in my opinion. You're going to get some people, you're going to get the heavy boomers out there being like, ah, whatever, we don't need this, da da da. But at the same point, I think you do start to see some minds open up to it a bit more, and at least some people showing respect for this being an option out there as opposed to just nothing.
I mean, let's be real here. We can only watch the same replays of the bowling competition from 2009 and the international dart competition from 2013 so many times before we're ready just to turn Hallmark on, and nobody wants to turn Hallmark on.
Boomers. Don't tell my mother that.
don't tell my dad that.
I like it. I like it. So creative stuff happening there. At the same point, shifting our track a bit to NASCAR. John, one of your favorite sports out there. It's replacing canceled races with esports. So now we are looking at NASCAR making a big shift here, saying we are not driving real cars, even though we're 6 feet away from people in most cases. We're not going to risk that opportunity, mainly because the fans there are well within the 6 foot zone of each other. This is a good move for most sports, in my humble opinion. You're reducing the risk of people passing on the coronavirus. At the same point, racing is one of those things that can easily be moved to esport. Again, very different. I'm not making that comparison. Just saying it is a game that's out there. It's got good graphics. It runs well, at least from what I've been told. I have personally not played any e-NASCAR type of stuff. But the game looks pretty good. I can't say NASCAR as a sport is that entertaining to me, but it does have a huge following. And I think very similar to what we said with the Wizards and the Capitals, this is another way to extend that competition and give fans of that sport something to watch in this meantime.
Joey, I'm not going to use the S word when it comes to NASCAR, because I definitely don't believe it's a sport. But you know what? Look, if you're a fan of NASCAR, this could be a nice way to hold you over. My nephew watched it. He's becoming a NASCAR fan. I don't know why, but he watched it. He enjoyed it, but he also plays video games. My sister watched it. I guess that's where he's getting, you know, the NASCAR bug from. And she said it was weird, but also kind of entertaining to watch at the same time. I feel like the more interesting thing here with e-NASCAR, if you will, is the fact that you can actually hear the personalities behind it. Like, they had pro racers racing in there. They had personalities racing. It was unique. Now, it wasn't all like 80 people connected to a PlayStation and driving around in circles 500 times. But you know, there was some personality. You got to hear them talk about NASCAR. Like, there was, they were able to bring their personality out and kind of give a different view on the world of NASCAR and like the world of being a driver or being on a NASCAR team or something like that. Now, while it's not my cup of tea, for NASCAR fans, cool, awesome, that's great. I feel like that provides a different view for them, and I think that that's really, really cool. And this was on TV. This was on Fox. This was on like the Fox station, like Channel 5 here in the Washington, D.C. area. It was absurd. And there's some great videos on Twitter of people reacting to virtual NASCAR being shown on TV. There's this one guy. I wish I saved the tweet. Fits the stereotype to a T. Older gentleman, beard, maybe of the country aspect of life. Screaming at the television, goes, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I'll tell you what, you put cars going around in a circle, I'm going to watch. You know, he was all excited for it, even though he was completely confused on what was going on. But you know what? If that's what it takes to provide a smile on someone's face, I'm all for it. I'll put my personal biases aside for NASCAR. This is a great opportunity for NASCAR fans to get their racing fix, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. Kudos to NASCAR for thinking outside of the box for a change and going with eNASCAR going forward while these races are being canceled.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to end up launching this into a bigger thing as well. So like you said, it was on Fox Sports 1 this past weekend. They're additionally going to add three e-leagues in as well. We're going to have eNASCAR Heat Pro League, eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series, and the eNASCAR Ignite Series. So we are seeing a bunch of stuff pop up from this. I have a feeling this means this was in NASCAR's plans ahead of time. They're just going to escalate it, move it forward a little quicker, and start getting these leagues into motion. Like you said, top professionals were out there. We had Dale Earnhardt Jr., Bobby Lamonte, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, a few of the names listed here in this article. On top of that, it was also broadcasted on Fox with official broadcasters like Jeff Gordon as well. It ended up being about a 90-minute race program. So, at least to my knowledge, that's much shorter than a NASCAR race, right?
Like, NASCAR races take all day, apparently. I'm sorry. I don't got that kind of time. Like, I got me some video games to play on a weekend. I'm not going to be sitting there watching cars go in circles 800 times. But I will say this. I completely forget the guy who this happened to. A lot of people say it's the best part of NASCAR and it's the crashes. But, you know, when you watch some of these crashes and people walk away from them, it's absolutely insane to think about what they just went through. The most recent person, I apologize, I'm blanking on his name, ended up being in the hospital after his car flipped and went airborne and burst into flames. That's one good thing about eNASCAR is when you wreck, it's all virtual. It's not real life. That's something that's cool. But man, it's I don't know, Joey. I'm glad for NASCAR. I'm glad for NASCAR fans will be able to see this going forward. But it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. A few other things here. So like I said, Jeff Gordon ended up commentating 90-minute race. Like I said, John, I think that's much shorter, much more reasonable for someone who wants to jump into NASCAR in a sense. I think that's a lot more reasonable than 4, 5, 6, 24 hours out there on a race watching people turn left. The jet fuel smell as well. I'm sure a lot of people are going to miss that virtually. Go start up your car outside. Take a few sniffs of the exhaust pipe. You can get that feeling as well.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's how you get carbon.
Have you been to a NASCAR race? I went to one once just to experience it. And oh my gosh, I could not breathe there. It smells like jet fuel.
So yeah, I've been to a NASCAR race once. It was down in Richmond. And I actually had pit passes. Somehow my dad managed to get them through work. And he was like, hey, you want to go to a NASCAR race? I'm like, NASCAR? Sure, why not? I mean, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. It was really cool. Going in pit row, being able to talk to the teams, like straight up being like, hey, look, I'm a NASCAR noob. I've never watched NASCAR. It's my first race I've ever been to. Like, some teams were more talkative than other teams. One team in particular was very friendly with me, even gave me some free swag because apparently you have to have a driver when you watch NASCAR. I'm not going to say who the driver is because apparently nobody likes the guy.
Nice.
But he was really cool. He was really awesome. His whole team was incredibly friendly and very open to talking to a complete noob when it comes to NASCAR. So apparently I like the guy that no one else likes, but apparently he's still pretty good considering he won last year, apparently.
Typical fiasco there.
yeah, seriously.
I think overall this is pretty good. And for those racing fans out there, they are running this using a driving and racing simulator known as iRacing. So go ahead and check that out if you're interested. However, that will not be your only race option, John. We also have Formula One kicking off its first esport race this past weekend with a mix of professional drivers and gamers behind the wheels, the virtual wheels and the real wheels because they got their little setup and everything. This one peaked at 350,000 viewers, John. I mean, NASCAR is popular over here in the States. Overseas, though, when you look at Europe, Formula One is extremely popular, and I love the way the tracks are set up. A lot of them run through major cities, even where they'll close down streets of the city to have these races run. A lot of them, I think the biggest thing for me with Formula One, yes, I like the speed. Yes, I like the way the pits are done, but I think the biggest thing is the fact that the tracks change. Like, it's a unique track. There's actually different turns that are not only left in it. There's a lot of interesting mechanics that go around with the tracks in Formula One. The races still take forever. I don't think it's something I would tune into regular, but I like the fact that yet we see another racing game go online, and this one already pulling in 350,000 viewers, and that does not even include the TV viewers as well. This is purely streaming numbers.
Yeah, for sure, and I'm right there with you. I think Formula One is way better than the than the NASCAR product they put out there. The only downside is Formula One is mainly European based, so you're gonna have to wake up a little early to watch it if you really want to watch it, or catch the VOD later on. But I agree with you. I think the cars look cooler, they sound better, and the track isn't a gigantic circle, which is probably the biggest thing ever. And Joey, to be completely honest, when compared to NASCAR, NASCAR averages like 500 laps per race, and we're talking like 3-4 mile loops here for NASCAR. Formula One, I think they average like maybe 70 laps. So definitely a lot quicker than NASCAR. It's not an all-day affair. Maybe it'll take about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours at the most out of your day, but not like NASCAR where it's like, you know, the race starts at 12, and if you're out of there by 9, you're calling yourself, you know, good, you know, you're gambling, because that's good luck. Because those things take forever, it feels like. But yeah, no, I like this. And Formula One Esports, Formula One Esports is the one that actually has a cockpit built. Like, a lot of these people have $8,000-$10,000 racing cockpits that they have for their esport brand. Like, they have sponsorships and everything else too. So it's a virtual cockpit, if you will, you know, that they're controlling their car in. It's really, really cool what Formula One's been doing in the esports scene too. And it's no surprise to me that it's essentially more successful already than NASCAR. Granted, NASCAR is several years behind Formula One when it comes to embracing esports, but really, really happy to see Formula One peaking at 350,000 online, not including traditional television. I think that's absolutely awesome for Formula One and Formula One esports going forward.
Right. And I don't know if the esports scene follows the same rules, but to look up some of those rules for actual Formula One, John, it is 25 laps that they run.
Even
the
shorter.
Longest distance cannot exceed 305 kilometers, and they do run about 2 hours or less. So most do not exceed 2 hours. So yeah, much, much easier to watch than NASCAR, though it does sound like eNASCAR will run about 90 minutes as well. So if you're into racing in the sport, go ahead and check it out on the esports side. While all those races are currently canceled or delayed, feel free to check those out on our behalf. We can't really vouch for them, as John and I, neither one of us have watched them, have we?
I've watched, well, esports or the actual thing?
Esports.
The esports, no.
So let us know how they are. Hit us up on Discord. The NBA 2K League has announced the NBA 2KL 3 for All Showdown. John, that one's a mouthful in my opinion. It's a cool idea, though. It's going to be an online 3-on-3 tournament featuring fan-organized teams, top female 2K players, and social media influencers, all competing in the NBA 2K20 My Part game mode for a chance to play against NBA 2K League teams, as well as a share of $25,000 prize pool. That is a pretty penny to go ahead and win there. Fans can watch this, the NBA 2K League Showdown, on Twitch and the YouTube channels as well. There's going to be two stages to the tournament. The first stage will feature a 32 fan-organized teams competing against each other. So if you and I want to throw an NBA 2K team together, we can do so and try to find our way into this tournament. That's going to happen on March 27th through the 29th, this upcoming weekend, I believe, if I got my dates correct there. And fans can sign up for that online at NBA2KLeague.com. The second stage of this tournament is going to kick off on Tuesday, March 31st and run through Friday, April 3rd, and it will feature NBA 2K League players, where teams of three representing those teams up against the top female 2K players, social media influencers, and top performing teams. And then once all of this goes aside, I believe they all come together in one big conglomeration. Not 100% sure on how that all breaks down, but I like this idea, John. The NBA 2K League has been suspended for now. Yes, they play online, but they do play in person. So similar to what we see with a lot of these sporting leagues, they're moving away from that player-to-player contact. In NBA 2K, there's a lot of yelling. There's a lot of, I would say, competitive aggression. No one's really punching each other, but you get that nice, like, hey, John, go ahead and try to dunk me on that, son. Like, there's a lot of, like, fun aggression and fun entertainment between the teams, and you're also taking away that live audience component as well. So if John's over there cheering for his Wizards District Gaming and coughing on me, well, hey, that could end up being coronavirus and so on and so forth. So we have moved completely online, and I like the fact a lot of leagues are doing their normal esport type of competitions, and you get these normal leagues kicking off. And I think that's one way we could see NBA 2K going. But at the same point, I like the fact that we are seeing a bit more of the behind the scenes. We're getting those social media influencers. We're getting that female component as female gamers continue to rise across the world. Do you know the split on that, by the way, now? I was pulling data for that recently. 46% of females are gamers, supposedly.
There we go.
46% of gamers are female, excuse me. So that's really exciting. And I think this is another way to continue to promote females in gaming, because there is some, I would say, stigmas out there where females don't feel like they can compete on a male level, or at least some males don't think they can compete on a male level. I think this is one of those ways for females really to make a bigger name for themselves in these sport-based games as well.
So just real quick, since it's kind of on topic, I'd like to congratulate the Washington Wizards on their first virtual dub, beating the Celtics 74-57. Joey, I don't think, if that was real life, I don't think that game ends that way. but it's pretty cool. They went full on social media for that game. There's highlights. They're tagging players in it. They're going all out. So that they're still providing content to try to bring some normalcy to this world in this time of uncertainty. So really, really, really cool. So congrats to the Washington Wizards on their first virtual dub. A lot of views so far. I was just scrolling through Twitter. These highlight videos, Joey, we're talking thousands and thousands of views and engagements. That is awesome. It looks like people are somewhat open to this idea of video games replacing sports in this near future here, until this whole situation comes down. So hopefully people who enjoyed watching the Wizards get their first virtual dub will tune in for the NBA 2K League's Three for All Showdown. And yes, Joey, that is a mouthful. I completely agree with you on that.
And I do want to clear things up for our 99% of listeners who do listen on the podcast and can't see facial expressions here as well. One of the big things is John and I love sports. We are very big fans of traditional sports. We think esports are very different, and I want to make sure that's very clear out here as well. We enjoy the esport component, and we think this is a fun way for these leagues and teams to fill the space. In no way is this going to replace actually watching these teams compete on TV or in person. It is purely another option out there. Instead of us just watching a static screen or watching another Netflix show, this is another option out there presented for people. ESL 1 Rio is moving to November due to the coronavirus. John, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know how much you know corona-wise. I don't believe Brazil has been hit that hard yet, but I think it has started popping up there. So I think this is a very much a preemptive, we think it's going to get bad in Brazil at some point, coronavirus move. So we do see ESL 1 Rio moving on. It's going to end up increasing its prize pool in November to $2 million, and they will be canceling their second major of 2020 as well with this move. So ESL being one of those huge, really primary CSGO tournaments out there right now, making this move is a big dagger to the CSGO scene. However, there are a lot of big tournaments still happening. A lot of those tournaments have moved to either no audience or have moved online completely at this point. ESL, at least from what I'm seeing here, they're saying, we don't really want to do the online component. We would rather have a live audience for that energy, for that fun support in person. So instead of delaying it and moving it online, we're just going to completely delay it outright and end up selling tickets later down the road. Anything else on that one, sir?
No, sir.
Exciting stuff. With that, we will move into our regular leagues, which are no longer regular, thanks to our buddy there, the coronavirus. CDL, it's going to continue at some point. It's going to continue online with online matches, no in-person audience, no teams playing face-to-face like we've mentioned previously. The dates and times for that are still to be announced, though. I think a lot of that is hovering around the Overwatch League. One thing Activision Blizzard is doing is trying to make sure the Overwatch League and CDL don't overlap with one another. And since the Overwatch League schedule keeps getting bumped and adjusted, they're probably saying, hey, we're just going to hold back on CDL for now. Go play your Warzone. Go have fun with everyone out there, and we'll get continuing soon enough. I believe Overwatch League was scheduled to kick off this past weekend. They had some, I'm going to say, technical issues. It sounds like everything was just not ready to go on the side of the Overwatch League. So they said, hey, instead of putting out a not 100% product, we're going to wait it out. We're going to make some adjustments. We're going to make sure everything's good to go for this upcoming weekend. So for now, the Overwatch League should be kicking off this upcoming weekend. And the dates for that are going to be Saturday, the 28th, Sunday, the 29th, for those who are counting on their calendars over there. And then the CDL, if I had to assume, John, would probably follow the next weekend. Looking at the Overwatch League, and again, guys, very tentative. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, and then it ended up changing completely due to the virus outbreak. But for now, we have a tentative schedule up here. It is a whole slew of matches. When we look at this, John, it looks like Asia is finally getting involved. There's some Guangzhou Charge here. There's some Shanghai Dragons, Chengdu Hunters, Hangzhou Spark. So it looks like the Asian scene, Seoul Dynasty being another huge name in there, are finally getting their start to Overwatch League Season 3. I like this move by the league. I think it's been way too long to get those teams, but I completely get it. The safety of the players, the safety of the audience is 100% come first. I think this is the right move, moving it online so that those players can finally get into the competition. The league itself can have something to survive on while these viewers end up increasing their viewership or their love for certain teams, being able to watch them online. So I like this move. It's really hard to break down this week, though, John. There's a ton of great matches out there. It's just a melting pot of competition, really, with teams from all over the world, Europe, Asia, and North America here.
I'm just going to put it to you this way. If you are practicing social distancing, or you are quarantined, or you are just quarantining yourself because you're an introvert and you don't like going outside, Joey, all I'm going to say is if you are a fan of Overwatch and you like esports, you're even curious about esports for Overwatch, this is the weekend to get involved. I am talking about 16 matches over a 3-day period from Saturdays at 4 a.m. Eastern time between the Charge and the Dragons, going all day Saturday, most of the day Sunday, into Monday morning with the last match starting at 12 a.m. That is midnight Eastern time on Monday, March 30th between the Seoul Dynasty and the LA Gladiators. That is an entire weekend full of Overwatch League action. 16 games. It is going to be an absolute barn burner. It's impossible to break down this weekend. So many good matchups. It's one of those things where if you are looking for entertainment and you are looking to, you know, kill some time, you know, maybe you're tired of watching, you know, second season of You, maybe you're tired of watching, you know, Stranger Things third season for the 15th time, and you want to take a break and you want to watch some esports, this is a great weekend to do it, especially if you're a fan of Overwatch.
Absolutely. I have some very good esports going on. It doesn't look like anything will be televised at this point. It will all be on YouTube Gaming with that exclusive streaming deal. So tons of esports, like you said, John. We have a lot of action going on. And again, this is the first time a lot of people, a lot of fans, even a lot of other teams outside of scrims get to see some of these Asian teams for the first time. And a lot of these Asian teams were very strong last year. The Hangzhou Spark, Hangzhou Spark had one of the best DPS in Gods. We have Guangzhou Charge, also extremely potent. Nieru is one of their big DPSs over there. Shanghai Dragons did pretty well for a while as well with Gamsu at the time. So a lot of really strong talent coming from these Asian teams that really haven't been tested so far this year. On the other side, Seoul Dynasty over there in South Korea. This is a team that comes in with a lot of old London Spitfire players as well. Bedozin's over there now. I think Gesture might be on that team. So a lot of really talented Spitfire players who were on that season one winning team that won the whole league, now moving over to Seoul Dynasty, and they're probably starting a new dynasty there, at least if we look at their roster on paper. So a lot of really exciting things going on, as well as the San Francisco Shock. I believe we've only seen them in one game so far. We get two more of them. That is last season's champion, for those of you new to the Overwatch League. So tons and tons of action, a lot of variety. I'm not even going to pick a single matchup unless you want to, John. I feel like half of the slate is really good matchups this week. So we're going to be in for a lot of really fun Overwatch League.
I'm just glad the Justice are playing at 8 p.m. and not like 4 a.m. So it'll be nice to watch the Justice on a regular sleep schedule too.
That it will be. And again, guys, Call of Duty League should be coming back at some point, but for now it is not back. So we'll stay tuned on that one. Hopefully we'll be able to shoot out a tweet sooner than later to let you guys know when that will be scheduled. Over to League of Legends, which has come back. It took a little one-week hiatus saying, hey, let's get our coughing off to the side here, wash our hands, and get our live streams ready, because they have moved online as well, and that's for the LEC and the LCS. Kicking things off with the LEC, John, how do our standings look?
The standings look better than the LEC's production this past weekend, with G2 Esports sitting in first place at 13-3. Origin in a two-way tie with Joey's team, Fnatic, 12-4. Second place, fourth place, Mad Lions, 10-6. Rogue in a two-way tie with Misfits Gaming, 9-7 in fifth place. Excel Esports in seventh, all by themselves at 7-9. Eighth place, Schalke at 5-11. SK Gaming in ninth place at 2-14. And Team Vitality, well, you know what? At least people don't have to watch them play horribly in person anymore. 1-15, last place.
John, I got to say, I was really close on predictions. The split is still going on, but I've hit almost every single one in the positions they're in right now. I said 4, 5, and 6 would be some kind of tie between Rogue, Misfits, Mad Lions, with Excel just missing out on playoffs. It looks like that's going to fall into place. I do have Fnatic taking sole quality of that second seed with Origin falling into third. So we'll see how it all plays out. But for the week ahead, I'm excited for some matchups. Again, Friday, March 27th is when they kick off. Saturday, March 28th. Being that second day for LEC action. If I had to pick some, I think on day one, it would be Mad Lions and Fnatic. I think Fnatic wins this one, but I do want to say Mad Lions took the first game out of the set. Karzy being a really talented new AD carry up into the scene. We have a great support next to him as well. So the fact that that bot lane has really gone toe-to-toe with Reckless and Hillsong before, I think, is really big credit to Mad Lions. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I feel like Fnatic has fallen a bit more into their shoes so far. They've become more comfortable in the spring split. It usually takes them a little while to warm up, and I feel like they've finally warmed up completely. Mad Lions, on the other side, has shown a ton of potential. They are a very powerful team full of many rookies, and I think they are going to have a very bright future ahead of them, being the former academy team for Splice that now became Splice and then got renamed to Mad Lions. I think they have a very bright future ahead of them. However, I think this line will be roaring a little bit less. It's going to be a bit more of a purr up against Fnatic this week in day one. Over to day two, I think there's a couple matchups to highlight here as well. The biggest one for me is probably got to be Mad Lions again up against Origin. This is up against another number two team. Again, if Mad Lions plays on their game, I think they can take down a team like Fnatic or Origin. I think it's just going to be tough with all the veteran experience that comes out versus the rookie experience and that rookie mechanical talent that a team like Mad Lions has. So I will be taking Origin, but I want to see how Mad Lions plays up against these two teams. If they look like Simba, the young cub, or if they look like Simba, who's going to eventually lead the Pride. Anything else for the LEC, sir?
Hopefully they learn how to use their webcams next weekend.
Oh, for LEC?
For LEC, yeah.
Oh, I know. That was interesting. That and the mics. They did not level the mics out at all, and it was driving me a little bonkers. But we got through it.
I will say this.
It was an EU production.
It was, but I will say this. Normally, the LEC absolutely dominates the LCS. Production-wise, I think the LEC is easily better produced. I enjoy their layouts. I enjoy almost everything about the EU broadcast. The LCS, while it's not bad, I feel like they play second fiddle to the LEC all the time when it comes to broadcast, whether it's the graphics they use, whether it's the overlays they use, the transitions or whatever. But I have to say, I was pretty pumped when I saw the LCS actually able to use webcams this past weekend and the LEC was on the struggle bus using only static images.
Yeah, I feel like the LCS did a very good job in that way. I mean, maybe it's that great internet out there in LA getting their Google Fiber working, not sure. but those looked very good. And they also leveled their mics. Their mic volume was pretty even. I was very happy about that. I like the cameras. I think that was a good move. Their transition slide still very far below the LEC as well as their fonts. I mean, that LEC font is just straight fire. It is. Overall, I think they did a really good job, and I think the games were pretty high quality as well. Moving over to those maybe a little bit lesser quality standings, we do have some movement happening. I'm not saying the top is bad because they're currently up in Cloud 9, John, 15-1, Cloud 9 in first place. Evil Geniuses. They have been plotting all season long, and we finally see it coming to fruition. They have shot their way up to second place into a tie with Team Solo Mid and FlyQuest. Immortals, not quite immortal, but not quite dying either. They're sitting around fifth right now, still holding a playoff spot. Tied up with 100 Thieves, who's harding a hot. They're having a hard time stealing wins. They're stealing some losses here and there. But it does look this like this could be our playoff teams with Cloud9, Evil Geniuses, TSM, FlyQuest, Immortals, and 100 Thieves. However, there's a couple teams on the outside looking in. Team Liquid, the returning champions, is one of those teams. They have Broxah back. Some of the games have looked great with Broxah. Then they've subbed Double Lift out here and there to try out Tactical. They've had a bunch of, I would say, communication issues on the Rift for Team Liquid. They don't really look like themselves. It looks like there's some mix of communication, some mix of just players just not on the same page just yet. So I think they have some kinks to work out, and it might have to be worked out in the offseason because they might miss out on playoffs, as well as Team Dignitas. They paid Huni $2.3 million, but they cannot buy a win to save their lives. They are sitting at 6-10, with the Golden Guardians also tied for that eighth spot at 6-10. Counter Logic Gaming continuing to counter the logical decision of wins. John, this team is not that bad on paper, yet they cannot pull it together. They are 3-13. So wild standing so far for the LCS. If you looked at this a couple years ago, people would probably have an aneurysm looking at these standings because they are just so crazy from what you'd expect. This year, with these new organizations coming in, it's a little bit different. Evil Geniuses, again, it felt like they sat toward the bottom for so long, but they've really pulled it together in recent weeks. And we have Immortals returning, Dignitas returning, and they're showing that there are some growing pains for those returns.
You know, the crazy thing here is there's a huge bottleneck for the final two spots here in the LCS. You know, Golden Guardians at 6-10 still has a shot of making playoffs. Dignitas at 6-10, I believe, still has a shot of making the playoffs. Team Liquid, one win out of that final spot. You know, 100 Thieves, Immortals, FlyQuest, TSM, Evil Geniuses. It is 2-3 wins separate second place from ninth place. That is essentially one weekend of games can catapult you to the upper half of this table. It is so competitive in the LCS right now. It is almost must watch if you're a fan of League of Legends coming to the end of the spring split.
Absolutely. But before we come to the end of this podcast, John, I have to get your thoughts on the schedule ahead. We have matches on Saturday, March 28th, Sunday, March 29th, and no Monday Night League this time. But what are your thoughts on these Saturday-Sunday matches? What sticks out to you?
So, of course, I mean, Cloud9's kind of running away with it. You know, they're 15-1, so the Cloud9 Evil Genius matchup, you know, between 1 and 2, it's not as exciting because there's such a huge gap there. It should still be competitive. Cloud9 was a little rusty this past weekend, so I'll be kind of curious to see how Evil Genius does against Cloud9. A lot of former Cloud9 players, Sven Skaren and the bearded god himself, Zyzel, on Evil Genius is going up against Cloud9 again. So that should be good. Cloud9 taking the first game against Evil Geniuses earlier in the split. That should be pretty good. As well as any TSM match, because TSM has really turned it around. A team that has been struggling at the beginning of spring, and it feels like they do this every year. They struggle in the beginning of the spring split. They kind of figure it out. Then towards the end, they make a late run for the playoffs for the spring split. And that's what they're doing right now. TSM is playing out of their mind, going up against 100 Thieves. Again, one win separates the two of them, TSM at 9-7, 100 Thieves at 8-8. Can TSM hold off 100 Thieves? Can 100 Thieves kind of rebound and get back in there? Then TSM kind of has a cupcake match against Dignitas, 6-10, again, in eighth spot. But again, only two wins out from being in that final playoff spot. So a lot on the line for Dignitas as well. So really, I want to highlight TSM as the team to watch. And trust me, it kills me saying that. To watch this weekend to see what version of TSM shows up. Are they really what they look like they are playing-wise on the Rift now? Is Bjergsen back to being the Bjerger King? Or is TSM just kind of on a lucky streak that's going to come to an end here as we reach the end of the spring split? So I want to highlight the two TSM matches because that's really going to tell the story of this TSM team.
Absolutely. So guys, go ahead and check that out. We have everything from e-racing to the return of the Overwatch League with Asian teams finally jumping into the fray. We have CSGO still happening out there. We have League of Legends with the LCS, LEC, and the return of the LPL and LCK over there in China and South Korea, respectively. Lots and lots of esports action ahead. Exciting times to come. But for now, guys, stay safe. Wash your hands. Get all that ready to go. Get your soap ready before John jumps into the outro here. Because I want you guys to be clean, I want you guys to be healthy, and I want you guys to join our Discord server as well. We'll have that link posted in the notes.
You cannot join our Discord server unless you wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. And you have to sing Mr. Brightside by the Killers, the chorus for that. You have to sing what? That while you're washing your hands. Fun fact, it's 20 seconds long, and the lead singer, Brandon Flowers, sang that on Twitter and recorded that, and it was beautiful, absolutely fantastic of him washing his hands while singing that. Mr. Brightside, a classic. Listen to that while you wash your hands, and you'll be safe, clean, and you'll be listening to amazing music. So be clean and join our Discord. Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and the show?
Level Up Nation, level up your social media by heading over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and finding us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream this podcast regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. We do this podcast Monday nights around 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time with other streams throughout the week as well. Come check them out.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online, and as always,
level up.